This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Leibel Sternbach is here, Joe McKenzie, and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. Hi, everyone. Joining us this weekend on New Beginnings is our career coach, our career expert, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. Tell us how we can reach you, Joe McKenzie.
Freddie Bell, they can reach out to me directly at 763-438-1621 or visit my website, and that's rippleconnects.com.
All right. We're going to talk about this incredible book called Words to the Wise.
Absolutely, Freddie. We've done some great work in regards to your book and these daily affirmations. We've been going, I believe, about 6-7 months now, and I like the fact that I can talk to you about your words to the wise and how you've applied it to your own life and career, and that's what we're doing here today. And Freddie, I'm going to start out by saying your words to the wise. You say adversity. How does adversity, now hang with me here, positively impact our careers?
I'm glad you asked that question. It's interesting, when we hear the word adversity or the word problems, we tend to run. But there was a talk I heard some time ago when the speaker said, you're not living unless you're having problems. And I'm thinking, man, boy, am I alive. So it's really interesting that it happens like that. But there is no person who's never had an issue or concern or adversity. But I believe that there are some lessons that we can learn from hardships. There are lessons that we can learn from adversity. And there are a few of those, Joe McKenzie. And I think about four. And there's an affirmation that's also in the book that goes along with this. The first affirmation would be, I never see problems as problems, but the information that I need to improve my technique and to perfect my performance. How about that?
Well, that covers a lot of areas there, because you obviously cannot go at it with some of the skills that you haven't refined or changed because of this adversity. So what I hear you just saying is you're setting yourself up for a great opportunity for professional growth, right?
You do. And there's some lessons that are learned from hardships or adversity. And there are actually four of those that I'd like to outline. And I'll just tick them off. The first one is compassion and sensitive. The second one is self-knowledge and perspective. The third one's limits of control and flexibility. That would be number four.
Okay.
So if I were to go with the first one, compassion and sensitivity, you know, Joe McKenzie, a significant dose of humility usually comes from hardship. It's not really easy to confront the truth that we are not perfect, that we're probably not invincible or immune to difficult or even terrible things, but going through that hardship can open our eyes to the hardship of others. So receiving support and help from others could actually motivate us to give more support more readily. And as a result, our sense of compassion can grow. So compassion and sensitivity could be a wonderful lesson from hardship. Number two, from hardship or adversity, Number two is the self-knowledge and perspective. Hardships, Joe McKenzie, can force us to come face-to-face with who we are. And sometimes it can be difficult to hold that mirror up to ourselves. But the lessons learned from adversity can also reveal maybe some limitations or patterns or beliefs or some skills that we didn't see or even appreciate before. So this shift with which increases self-awareness is pretty powerful. When we are having some difficulty or adversity, we have the chance to make new choices based primarily on what matters most, how we not react but act from this adversity, how we think about it, how we feel, and what we can do and what we can't do. So we see the possibilities as a result of this self-knowledge and perspective. The third point I mentioned, Joe, is limits of control. So as much as we might want to chart our own path, hardship and adversities is a reminder of the limits of our own control. There are limits. But when we acknowledge and embrace those limits, Joe, on our power, we can put down some of the weight that we've been taking along with us and accept some things that they just simply aren't up to us. And the last one is flexibility. We do, in many cases, we can survive hardships. We can survive adversity. If we're willing to move ourselves forward, it can add some strength for us to tackle new challenges and to face future failures. You know, you can't go through a failure without learning something. And this flexibility allows us to be resilient and even durable as things change. And it also teaches us that to be open to learning and agile as we figure out what we need to do next. I think about the pandemic that we're coming through. I think it'd be tough for people to realize that we've not learned something, if nothing else, nothing other than cleanliness coming through this this pandemic. But there are a lot of lessons learned, and there are different ways that we do things. I think you could probably even think in your own home what you've done differently as a result of the pandemic. So those are my four things, Joe. Compassion and sensitivity. Two, self-knowledge and perspective. Three, we understand what our limit of control is. And number four is being flexible, having that flexibility. And all of this helps us to come through and learn from the adversities that we face from time to time.
You're absolutely right, Freddie. What we just came through in the pandemic, many people never saw that coming or even have to do any kind of those changes or adaptions or that understanding, that compassion for others, what they've gone through. But all of us went through it. And here we had to make those changes. We had to understand where people were coming from. We had to be flexible to make it work and to derive new self-knowledge just to make it work. So the pandemic really caused the majority of us in this country, in our lives, in our careers, to realize probably all four of those areas that you covered. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. And I think about you from your perspective of being a career expert. There, believe it or not, I think many people have been fired who are listening to this program today. They've lost an opportunity and they've had to transition from one job to another through downsizing or right-sizing. I love the word that I heard a company use, they rationalize their employees. And you think as it's happening that this is the worst thing that could ever happen. But talk to these people who've gone through some of these difficult or adverse situations, and I would bet you that a number of them will tell you that that may have been the best thing that could have ever happened to them in their lives, because now as a direct result of that, they're living their best lives ever, or things have really improved in ways that they could never have imagined had they stayed in that space where they were before.
Exactly. What you just described in those four points, many of us that have gone through that, either, you know, starting a new job, I started 2 months before the pandemic and I was way outside my comfort zone, to those people that I know that did have to unfortunately lose their jobs and find new opportunities. And you're absolutely right. Without that, we would, if everything just went to, as planned, I don't think many of those areas would have come into play during the pandemic for most of us. And so, you know, when we start out by saying the word adversity has a lot of people going, oh no, where, you know, I don't like that word. But what we've done with that word and your wise words is it is a great teacher to have that adversity put in front of you.
There are times when I look for adversity. I expect it. I know it's going to happen because I know that it's just like a rain cloud. On the other side of that storm is usually a brand new dawn. I know that when it rains and the storms, that there's new growth that happens on the landscape in front of us. I know that when people treat us as more horrible than we could ever imagine, we become tougher, we become more resilient, and our antennas are up even higher. We now know we can forecast, we can see things coming that we could not have seen before had we not gone through that particular piece of adversity. So I believe adversity is a great teacher, Joe McKenzie.
Well, those are some wise words that I've taken to heart. You know, raising a family, you know, through the pandemic, as my children go through their their post-secondary education, but also my own career in you know, helping people. I understand now what a lot of people have been going through. So yes, your four steps there resonate with me, and I like the fact that you can drill down on, you know, that phrase, adversity is a great teacher, and to hear it from you and how you've applied it in your own life and career. And I think that's very helpful for our listeners to hear. You know, it doesn't always go to plan. And when we hear Freddie Bell talk about this or Joe McKenzie talk about this, no, nothing ever really goes to plan. But at the outcome, the direct outcome, like you say, is that we grow from it. We learn how to be more sensitive and aware, and you know, all those areas ring true with us because we've gone through it. And without that adversity, we probably wouldn't have that opportunity to gain that those new skills or that new mindsets that you described.
Exactly. And Joe McKenzie, thank you so much for asking about adversity being a great teacher. And I don't mean to adverse, but we're out of time. But I do know this, that you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
It's all my pleasure, Freddie Bell, and we turn candidates into contenders.
Hi, everyone. It happened this week. On this date in 1888, the Eastman Kodak Company was formed. In 1944, the United Negro College Fund was incorporated. In 1974, legendary actor, comedian Bud Abbott died at the age of 78. He and Lou Costello teamed up to form one of the most popular comedic duos of all time. In 1995, a package bomb linked to the Unabomber exploded inside the offices of a group lobbying for wood products industry in Sacramento, California. The explosion killed one person. In 2003, in an interview with ABC's Diane Sawyer, country music trio The Dixie Chicks said they were living in fear after group member Natalie Maines set off a firestorm of controversy by telling a London concert audience she was ashamed that President Bush was from the group's home state of Texas. While Maines admitted that her words were disrespectful, she would not apologize for calling into question the Bush administration's decision to launch a war against Iraq. In 2004, cosmetic queen Estée Lauder died at the age of 77. In 2008, actor Wesley Snipes was sentenced to 3 years in federal prison for tax evasion charges. The actor was given the maximum sentence by a federal judge in Florida. And in 2018, genealogy websites lead to the arrest of Joseph DeAngelo. He was charged with 8 murders of the Golden State Killer. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
Scissors, clippers, styling and profiling. Information online at thestandardmn.net in Oakdale, Minnesota.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now's my favorite time of the program when we turn our attention to talk finance with Lyle Sternbach. He's Amazon's best-selling author of Authenticity and also the book Living with Financial Anxiety. We really had a robust conversation the last time we were together, and you talked about not running out of money. So in that view, in that vein, Lyle, what would be the best advice that you could give right off the top to give someone trying to make the most of their money in retirement savings? Where would you start?
So I'm going to say two things that kind of sound contradictory, but I think as we talk through them, it will make more sense. I'm putting that disclaimer out up front. Now, the way that you want to think about this, right, what is the best piece of advice I can give you is that retirement planning, right? Financial planning, proper financial planning is doing calculus, right? When everyone else is playing checkers, you need to be playing chess. And when most people come to me and they want my help reviewing their financial plan, reviewing their retirement plan, they are often making a single decision. They're looking at things from the context of one number, right? So let's take Social Security planning, right? People say, when's the best age that I should file for Social Security? And they'll look at it from the context of, okay, what gets me the biggest check? But that isn't the question you should be asking. What you should be asking is, what is going to get me the lifestyle I want? What will allow me to retire sooner? What will make sure that I don't outlive my assets? And oftentimes, when you put those questions first and you try to answer those questions and you say, okay, Social Security is one tool at my disposal. My retirement savings is another tool at my disposal. When you look at it from that context, the answer changes dramatically. And what looked to be the best decision before may actually be the worst decision possible. And so my best piece of advice is you need to look at things holistically, right? Don't take them out of context. Even though it feels, you know, it's the easy thing to do and it's very overwhelming to try to, you know, figure out these moving pieces, you have to look at all these moving pieces together. And, you know, the only way that I'm able to do that is because I've developed a framework and a process for doing that. And I apply that to every decision that I do. But you have to do that, because if you don't have a way of making these decisions and understanding how they affect you today, tomorrow, and long into the future, then you are guaranteed to make the wrong decision.
We're talking with Leibel Sternbach, and I just want to amplify in what you're talking about, what you just mentioned, framework. So for those folks who are listening right now, and they're just starting thinking about retirement planning, and maybe some are late in doing that, what's the framework? What does that look like? What do you suggest that we use?
So when I think about retirement planning, when I think about finances in general, right, I look at it kind of from a I look at it as a cycle. And the cycle that I see is, first and foremost, right, we need to make sure that our essentials are protected. And by essentials, I mean we need to have a roof over our head, we need to have food on the table, we need to have enough money in the bank and enough of our bases covered that we are not worried about money, that we are not having financial anxiety. And I talk about this in my book, Living with Financial Anxiety, because I firmly believe that the reason why so many people make bad financial decisions is because they are setting themselves up for failure. It's because you're trying to make, you know, long-term decisions when your body, when your mind doesn't know whether you're going to have food on the table tomorrow. So until we have financial security, until we know that our safety is taken care of, our financial safety is set for, we can't start thinking about, you know, what investment is best, what tax strategy is best. None of that matters, right? So financial security is number one. Once we have our financial security, and it looks different for everyone, and even within a couple, right? Me and my wife, we have very different definitions of what financial security looks like and feels like, and we have to balance those needs. But until we both feel secure, we can't move on to the next step because we won't be able to make rational decisions. And then the next step is, okay, let's figure out how to maximize the resources that we have, right? And the low-hanging fruit when we're talking about, okay, where can we get some more money into our pockets? It's taxes, right? How can we save money on taxes, right? Every penny that we have to pay to taxes, every penny that we incur a tax liability for, that's money out of our pocket. And it doesn't take a lot of work to figure out how to shift our income or shift our tax liability so that we are being more tax efficient and putting more money back in our pocket, right? It's something, it's a decision that, you know, I look at on a regular basis. Everything that I do, I look at the decision of how can I do this in a way that is more tax efficient? Can I pay for this expense in a way that, you know, it's not coming out of my earned income, it's coming out as a business expense? By the way, that's a reason, a really great reason why you want to have a business, is so that you can have business expenses. You know, there are lots of ways to use expenses and to figure out how to pay for things in a way that's tax efficient, whether that's a health savings account, right, or an HSA or a 529 plan or a Coverdell savings account. There are all kinds of ways of doing things, right? It could even be buying, you know, going to Costco, right, and paying buying wholesale, right? That's another way to save money, but you want to save money on taxes. That's number one, right? Because every penny you save on taxes is a penny back in your pocket.
Right.
Number two, once we save money on our taxes, now we need to figure out how to grow our money. Because if our money is just sitting in the bank, it is decreasing in value, right? We know inflation is a real thing. We know that a dollar today is not going to be worth a dollar tomorrow. We're not going to be able to buy the same stuff. So we need our money to grow. Not only that, but if we have the ability to make money while we're asleep, why wouldn't we do that, right? Now, keep in mind, the reason why most people don't do that is because they don't have financial security yet, right? And so they're worried about their car breaking down. They're worried about how they're going to pay for their next meal. They're living paycheck to paycheck, which is perfectly fine, right? We've all been there. We've all done that. But we need to make sure that once we have financial security, that we take ourselves out of that mindset of hoarding our cash and figuring out how to make it work for us, how to make it grow, how to make it grow in a way that doesn't keep us up at night. And then finally, we have to look at our income and say, okay, where are we getting our income from? How can we get it in a tax efficient way? When we retire, how are we generating that income and our savings, and how are we paying for our expenses, right? Because that is going to be the biggest question in retirement, and it's going to be the biggest variable that will determine our success or failure. And then finally, hopefully, we'll have some money left over after that long journey that we can leave on and give and create a living legacy for future generations. And so when I make financial decisions, I look at it from this context. I look at it from this framework of, you know, financial security, tax minimization, right? Investments, income, savings, and then estate planning. And looking at it from that context and that order, what ends up happening, it becomes a cycle. Because as you go through it each time, right, you're going to make more and more money, and your needs are going to change. As you earn more money, as your savings grow, your estate planning needs are going to change, and your income needs are going to change. And the amount of money that you spend is going to change, right? And so this is a continual process that you have to constantly go through, and it needs to be a habit that you do, that is just part of who you are and how you make decisions. And this is something that, you know, I teach about, I talk about on my website, right? This is what I help investors do, is create this decision-making process.
Boy, what a process, and it's a great framework. So I like to talk about people in terms of, I give them a name, Johnny Lunchbucket. So Johnny Lunchbucket is listening to you right now. He says, okay, Leibel, I've got the framework idea, but I'm trying to figure out how to invest my 401k. I'm trying to figure out how to downsize my house or not. How can I make that framework that you just outlined work for me?
So I'm going to give you the real brief high level overview, but then I'm going to tell you, go read my book. Go read Living with Financial Anxiety, because I walk through step by step, you know, what is the decision-making process? And then how do you, you know, as you go through the different stages in life, how do you evaluate those decisions? Because like I said, this is something that's ever growing, ever evolving. And some of it is knowledge, right? We have to have the base knowledge of this is how the financial world works, and these are the options available to me. You know, when I was growing up and when I first came into finance, I didn't know half of what I know today. I knew less than half of what I know today. And if I knew what I knew today, you know, 20 years ago, my life would be very different. And so my book, Living with Financial Anxiety, is really me, you know, it's a love letter to my younger self of, you know, these are the things that you need to know. These are the things that they don't teach you in school. These are the ways of making a financial decision. And so when we go from the context, and you know what, I'm just going to read straight from the book what that decision making is, right?
Okay.
And here's what I have written in there, right? I have the plan, and it says, question number one, does this bring me closer to my goals, right? So when you're looking at your 401k and your investments, right, you need to ask yourself the question, does this bring me closer to my goals, right? And if you're just looking at a spreadsheet and a list of funds to invest in and they all look like gibberish to you, right? Well, then you don't have anything to make a decision based on, right? It's no different than throwing darts at a dartboard, right? So you need to go get yourself an education or get someone who knows and can tell you, well, this is how you look at this decision. And then you can say, okay, well, this, you know, fund A is going to get me closer to what I want than fund B. Fund A is one that I can live with. Fund B is not one that I can live with, right? So question number one, does this bring me closer to my goals? What is my downside if I choose this? What is my downside if I don't choose this? What is my potential upside? Now, that's a tricky question, right? Because when you're looking at that list of what should I invest in, you probably don't have a good idea of what the potential upside is. But me as a financial professional, I can tell you that every single thing in your 401k list of those investment options, they all have different potential upsides. They all have differing contexts and uses. And if you can't properly answer that question, then you're just guessing, right? It's no different than going up to the gas pump and then choosing at random some, you know, which level of gas to put in, right? If you put in diesel, your car is probably not going to work. But if you put in the difference between, you know, regular and, you know, the premium, it won't really make a difference probably to your car, but it will make a difference to your wallet. So you need to know, right, does this gas fit my car? And does it make a difference putting in premium versus regular, right? What is that potential upside? What's the probability of success? Does this decision need to be made now? Oftentimes we focus on things that do not matter in the moment. Is the risk reward worthwhile? And finally, does this endanger my financial freedom? That is the biggest question, right? Does this push me backwards? If this went wrong, will this upset my ability to enjoy my life, right? That financial security we talked about, because you really got to answer that question every single time.
Well, you've given us a lot to think about, Leibel, and there are a lot of people scribbling really quickly, but you can go to yields4u.com. That's yields, the number 4, the letter u.com, and find all of this information and more. Leibel, thank you for taking us to school today and giving us a framework from which we can work to really take control of our financial future. And I invite all of you to join us next week as we talk about Social Security and a new approach to retirement planning based on the new Secure 2.0 Act. You might be able to retire sooner than you think. Thank you for joining us this week, and today is National Superheroes Day. It honors superheroes, both real and fictional. Batman, Superman, Captain America, Wonder Woman, Iron Man, Hulk, and Spider-Man are just some of the superheroes whose names we recognize. Even though they are fictional, these superheroes provide role models for our children, and you are the best role model there could ever be. We'll be right back.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi, everyone. I'm always so excited when Kathy McClear, the state director for AARP Minnesota, stops by. In just the warm-up just seconds ago, I said, are you ready? She goes, yes, let's do this. So let's do this in honor of volunteers. This is National Volunteer Month, and I'm just curious, Kathy McClear, what is AARP doing to honor the many volunteers that you work with?
Yeah, well, thank you, Freddie. And AARP has a long history of engaging and empowering volunteers. In fact, our founder, an educator from California, Dr. Ethel Percy Andrus, one of my favorite mottos of hers was to serve, not to be served. And we could not do what we do for the 50 plus in Minnesota without our volunteers. And April is a fantastic time to just say thank you for all of our volunteers. Whether you volunteer for AARP or you volunteer for some other organization, what you do is so critical to making your community a stronger place. So great time to say thanks to our volunteers.
Well, our organization and your organization is built around volunteerism. Can you talk about just briefly the benefits of volunteerism?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think anybody who has ever volunteered at all knows that it just gives you this incredible boost and of your mood and your general well-being. And, you know, we hear this from so many of our volunteers who feel like they're truly making a difference and having an impact in their community. And for our AARP volunteers, you know, we have folks who have visited elected officials. They've helped educate people about fraud. They've enrolled folks in safe driver classes. They've helped prepare taxes for free. And they're hosting a lot of our fun events that we have around the community. And it's just a great way to strengthen community networks across Minnesota.
In just a couple of days, there is a big event where people who are looking for a place to volunteer can do so.
Yes. I mean, we're always looking for volunteers, but we also want to encourage folks to give back, whether it's our organization or another organization. So folks who might be interested in doing some good can join us as we volunteer at Open Arms of Minnesota. And that's a nonprofit organization that prepares and delivers meals free of charge to critically ill Minnesotans and their loved ones. And so we would encourage folks, you don't have to be a chef or have culinary skills. You can just come out and help prepare, pack, portion, and pack the food, but again, no culinary skills necessary. And that is April 24th from 2 to 4:30 at Open Arms in St. Paul.
And you mentioned briefly about volunteering specifically with AARP, perhaps on a longer term. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Anybody who's interested in volunteering, we can find a role that is right for you. So if you like to go to health fairs or expos and just sit at a table and hand out information, we can do that for you. If you like to be an advocate and get out there and meet with your elected officials, we can find a place for you. If you like to get up in front of people and, you know, maybe you're a former teacher or a former Sunday school teacher and you just like to teach and give presentations, we can find a role for that as well. And if it's not AARP that you want to volunteer for, we have a great website called Create the Good. And that has volunteer opportunities with nonprofits anywhere near where you live. And so anybody who's interested in that, we would encourage you to go to aarp.org/volunteermn. And you can look for our opportunities along as well as Create the Good. Just click on that Create the Good button and find a whole list of ways you can give back.
This is really in line with your mission to empower people 50 and older, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We work to empower people to choose how they live as they age. And that really is embodied by our volunteers. They're just such an integral role in the work that we do as we work to advocate and strengthen communities.
She's Kathy McClear, the esteemed director of AARP Minnesota, and you're listening to New Beginnings. And I'm so excited to be talking with the John Schwartz. John Schwartz is the founder and president of the Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse. And John, welcome back. And as I'm looking, something just happened just in the last couple of weeks since we've been talking with each other. And this is really amazing from what I'm seeing. Can you outline what's described in the news release as Peaches Durgo?
Hey, Freddie, thank you very much for having me. Yeah, so this just came out on April 14th, the DOJ press release, but apparently Peaches Durgo, 36 years old from Florida, pled guilty on April 4th to defrauding a Holocaust survivor of $2.8 million in connection with a romance scheme. And as the press release says, the victim was 87 years old, Holocaust victim, and the $2.8 million was his entire life savings. So this is a very, very upsetting.
It really is. $2.8 million. Do you have any idea what the funds were supposedly being used for once this individual was arrested?
Sure. So according to the DOJ press release, it describes the following, that while the victim lost his life savings, Sturgeo lived a life of luxury and bought a home in a gated community, a condominium, a boat, and numerous cars, including a Corvette and a Suburban. Additionally, she spent the money on expensive trips, staying at the Ritz-Carlton, and also buying expensive jewelry. So, was it really worth it? Did she really need $2.8 million that bad to where she would target an 87-year-old Holocaust victim?
And then there's another one that you mentioned in the release, Carl Hampton. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, so with Carl Hampton, again, the DOJ press release came out on April 14th. But in this case, the headline shows that a man is convicted of defrauding an elderly widow of $1.2 million. And apparently, he met his victim in person while he was working as an exterminator in her home. And he operated as a predator between 2018 and 2020. And again, he was able to steal $1.2 million. So, what I see here is between these two cases, it's in both cases, these victims were looking for companionship. And that was the end that both these predators exploited.
Wow. So they're grooming these individuals. And in one case, over a period of years, what can an individual do? What can families do who are listening, who have someone in their home who are in advanced years, to protect themselves from this kind of predator crime?
Hey, that's a great question, Freddie. So what I would suggest is do exactly what the predators do. Conduct an assessment on an individual that you may know, whether it's an elderly loved one, an elderly themselves, or a family, a friend, but conduct an assessment. And if these individuals are living alone, they're isolated, if you have the opportunity, go try to visit them a little bit more often. Also, look for signs of early dementia, because, again, that's what the predators look for. Also, there's a suggestion to freeze credit. I think that's always a good suggestion. And then finally, one recommendation I've been putting out is consider buying a second telephone, and that's only to be used for answering, only to be given out to trusted individuals. And I think that takes away one attack vector that these predators can exploit.
Being with the FBI, a former FBI agent, you talk about hardening the target. As we prepare to say goodbye today, how do we harden the target, John?
Just be alert, Freddie. Some of these recommendations that I've given will definitely harden the target, but also just hearing of the various cases that are out there, and mm-hmm. so that the family members and the elderly understand just how prevalent these cases are, but more importantly, just how committed these predators are to seizing somebody's entire life savings. They stop at nothing. They learn that you're a Holocaust victim, and they continue to take your life savings. So that's my final recommendation.
He's John Schwartz, the founder and president of the Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse. If you'd like to learn more, you can visit his website, https://endefa.org. That's www.endefa.org. This is New Beginnings. How about a little fun from the lighter side of my desk this week? A study found that if a person drinks too much, exercise can help protect the brain from the damage caused by the booze. You can always tell when the guy on the stationary bike at your fitness club has had too much to drink. He's the only one signaling turns. New Jersey's second largest mall is implementing a chaperone policy for teenagers on Friday and Saturday nights. On the bright side, it's a perfect opportunity for parents to teach their kids about the ancient art of mall walking. talking. And when it comes to tongues, melting chocolate is better than a passionate kiss. Couples in their 20s had their heart rates and their brains monitored while they melted chocolate in their mouths and then kissed. Chocolate caused a more intense and longer-lasting buzz than kissing and doubled volunteers' heart rates, too. You can be forgiven for forgetting the name of that new acquaintance just minutes after you've been introduced. Memory experts at the University of Sussex say these memory lapses are a necessary part of the brain's process to avoid overloading with information, but it's not uncommon these memories can be recalled several hours after learning them. What's the easiest way to make new friends? Have a baby. A study found a woman's circle of friends shoots from 13 to 22 after having children. Why? It's easier to bond with other women once you have a child. What do new moms talk about? Giving birth seems to be the most popular topic, but after that, it gets a little deeper. In fact, 4 in 10 say they felt comfortable sharing personal information with fellow moms. Personal topics include concerns about being a good mom, guilt over whether to go back to work after maternity leave, and their post-baby sex life. And here are 4 things you may not have known. It's time to expand your mind. Number 1, the average person walks the equivalent of 5 times around the earth in their lifetime. Number 2, at any given moment, there are about 2,000 thunderstorms happening around the world. Number 3, only 5% of the world's population has ever been on an airplane. And number 4, the world's fastest ant, the Saharan silver ant, can travel up to 1 meter per second. Just for fun this week on New Beginnings. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Well, it is Eastern Orthodox Easter today, so I'll say or attempt in my Greek, Christos Aneste, Alithos Aneste. They capture the idea. Christ is risen, and the appropriate response to that is truly risen. Truly risen. People are celebrating this idea all over the world. They express it in different ways. Spring, we say with a little humor today, spring is renewing. But it is, as you leave the church, look at the beautiful Lenten roses that have bloomed outside the front door. They finally made their appearance. They believe in spring. Theology expresses it in many ways, and especially in Christianity. A theology, an idea of incarnation. That the divine life from universal source is the essence of who we each are. And last week and through the weeks of Lent leading to Easter, we celebrated this idea of Jesus Christ as our master teacher, as the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who fully revealed the love, the power, the truth, the strength of God that is possible in the human being. So if we can catch this idea of Christ, it will be our protection, our power, our healing, our prospering. But we must catch it, and that is our work to do. We cannot let this Christ consciousness, this Christ mind, be something confined to 2,000 years ago, or perhaps even longer. We can't throw it into the future. Ah, yes, the day that humanity will get its act together. Wars will cease. All will be peace and oneness. We can't throw it off to the future. The Christ idea, and Jesus of Nazareth taught it so often, is to know the kingdom of God is at hand. It is here. We must grasp it and let its truth work through us. And when we are downcast, challenged, ill, in doubt or fear, we must claim that idea of the Christ within. But today, I want to play with that little word, within. But first, since we began with this idea of Greek Orthodox or Eastern Orthodox Easter, I want to call to mind that long ago, one single little letter shifted the world perspective. More than 1,500 years ago, a bishop of the evolving Christian community said, "Don't change one iota." Have you heard that? My mother used to say that all the time. Not even one iota. And I used to think, what in the world did that mean, Mom? Iota, the Greek word, or the Greek letter, I. You see, there was a controversy in the conference of the early church. Rome was taking an interest in the power of this new Christian idea, this idea of resurrection. But the Roman emperor said to all the bishops who were fighting all over the Mediterranean world about what is Christ? What is Jesus Christ? Who is this risen one? Where is this risen one? And the emperor, being a good military man, said, "You guys, get your act together. Get your act together." It's kind of funny, because in our unity world of our unity churches, we're playing with this now. Getting our act together. Focusing. Who are we? What are we? What do we teach? That's something that humanity must constantly work through. It isn't one and done. Oh, we decided that in the 12th century, so we're set. No, we have to constantly examine our truth, our ideas, what's essential to us, and make it spring-like, fresh and new, because we've caught the vision again. Well, that emperor told the bishops, "Get your act together." And so through a series of conferences over time, one creed of the church after another came. But one of the early creeds, different communities said it slightly differently. As a matter of fact, they simply included or threw out an iota, a little detail. And for some, they understood Jesus Christ as consubstantial. That is, the same essence as God. For others, Christ was the first fruits, the first creation of the infinite God. The other screamed, "Don't make my Christ a creature, a mere creation like human beings and trees and bunny rabbits." No, the Christ was co-equal, essentially the same as God. Well, the debate continued through the centuries, but the phrase rested on the use of the iota, one letter that changed all the meaning. And isn't it interesting that in English, that letter is I. For in our unity tradition, we call the divine name the I Am. the essence within. That's why if you talk to our licensed teachers, Don and Sharon, and others in Unity, they always stressed, be careful. Be aware. Be focused in how you use your divine name. I am. Exist in God. Be careful when you say, I am tired. Or in a thoughtless moment as you work on your tax return, I am so stupid. I'm foolish. Or after your tax return, I am poor. Charles Fillmore, our co-founder of Unity, said that is your divine name. I, or I am.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. And here are today's words to the wise. You were born to succeed. Today's words to the wise. You were born to succeed. If you'd like to learn more, visit my website, freddiebell.com. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.